Good morning. Today's sermon topic is perhaps a little unusual. I want to talk about old age. In particular, I want to talk about the church's responsibility to her senior members, and conversely, what older Christians can and should be doing to serve their God and their fellow believers. In observing the gray-haired, wrinkled specimens standing here in front of you, you're probably not too surprised that this topic would be on my mind. However, the real stimulus for my deeper musings on this subject came from a remark made by the pastor leading the 24 to Double program our church pursued a couple of years ago. Pretty much the whole series was devoted to how to bring new people into the church and then how to keep their interest once they'd arrived. In the context of emphasizing the great importance of appealing to young families with children and meeting their needs, Pastor Jerry said, "You don't need to worry about the old folks. You've got them. They aren't going anywhere." Or something close to that. I probably gasped out loud in righteous indignation. As I recall, he wasn't content to say this annoying thing once, but repeated it on another occasion or two. Wow, you don't need to worry about the old folks? Not only do people dislike being taken for granted, even for the good cause of bringing young families with children into the church, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, it just isn't true. We do need to worry about old folks. In fact, we need to worry about all folks, from birth to death, and everyone in between. No one would argue that in the various stages of life, many of our needs are different, and how we meet these needs may differ too. But there is one need that never changes all through our lives, and that is our need for Christ. We not only need him, we need to grow in him, and we need to serve him. This, my fellow Christians, is a lifelong project. It doesn't matter how white our hair has become, or how many times we've read through our Bible, or how large our Sunday school perfect attendance pens collection has grown, we're not finished. We won't be finished until we kneel at the feet of God, where I'm pretty sure we'll discover that we've only just begun. We know on the authority of both the Old and New Testaments that a church functions like a family, with each member doing his or her part to keep the family afloat. Like any family, some members are weaker or stronger, with the stronger people stepping up to help the weaker ones survive. We also know that in a healthy family, no one shirks responsibility. Everyone does their part as soon as they are able and for as long as they are able. And so it is with the church. Everyone is cherished and needed. We are united in our love for our Father and in his love for us. We all belong to him and to each other, and this is a sacred responsibility. In carrying out this responsibility, we have different capabilities in the different stages of our lives. Our needs are different, too. A healthy church family should evaluate and adjust its expectations automatically as we all mature physically and spiritually. We should also be attuned to when to help and how to help. It is because of those two conditions that I want to talk about senior citizens, or old people, as I prefer to call us, because I think we are too often an overlooked and misunderstood group in churches today. Before I go too much further, I should probably make it clear that I'm not particularly talking about our church group. This is about churches in general, and not just Hayes Christian. We don't make it a practice to ignore or marginalize our old people. But I suspect we golden oldies aren't entirely understood either, and maybe better understanding would be a good thing. So, what is it like to be old? Perhaps the first thing to know is that old age sneaks up on you on little cat feet. Of course, you know in your mind that those birthdays are beginning to stack up, but the reality of it hasn't sunk in. The part of you that never changes feels about 28. But then something happens to bring on a reality check. Perhaps it's a milestone birthday, or maybe a sudden unbidden glimpse of yourself in the mirror finds a stranger with a slight familial resemblance staring back at you. Maybe it's when a young person solicitously offers to help you across the street with your shopping bags, and you think to yourself, do I really look that old and decrepit? And then it dawns on you that the answer is yes. Yes, I do. My oldest child turning 50 and getting his AARP card shook me up quite a bit. Also, the sudden realization that everyone in my parents' generation was gone, making my sister and cousins and me now the oldest generation in our family. I can remember as a child thinking how positively ancient those old family members were, and now, voila, here I am. Of course, the outward physical indications of age are obvious. The wrinkled face, the crepey arms, the graying, thinning hair, the expanding waistline, the sagging everything. For some people, this is hard to bear. For those of us who are not too beautiful in the first place, probably it's less difficult, I suspect. What is difficult for everyone, though, are the physical health problems. I think pain is kind of a dirty little secret among the aging population. We often hurt. Arthritis is a big culprit, but so is back pain, aching muscles, sore feet, digestive problems. You name it, and it probably hurts, has hurt, or is about to hurt. Most older people try to grin and bear it and to rejoice greatly in the good days. Certainly, enduring pain is more of a problem for some people than others, but I'm pretty sure everyone over a certain age has had their struggles with it. Going right along with the problem of pain is the loss of our ability to function as we'd like. We tire easier than we used to. Our muscles start to weaken. Our balance becomes less certain. Our body organs show signs of wear. We need more sleep, especially, it seems, during our favorite TV programs. Our eyesight and hearing become less acute. Or perhaps we start forgetting things, appointments, anniversaries, payments, names. It leads to conversations like, can you remember who the actor was who played what's his name in that movie about the cattle drive in Texas? It seems like he was also in a movie we liked that had that flying nun person. Whenever we forget a name or an appointment, a little niggling voice in the back of our head says, am I starting down the path to some form of dementia? And the sad thing is, some of us are. As a result of all this deterioration, we spend more and more time in doctor's offices, standing in line at the pharmacy, or enduring intrusive medical procedures. It really is enormously tedious. What is more upsetting than all this physical upheaval, however, is the emotional pain and challenges. You can't have lived long enough to qualify for the senior citizens discount without losing people who are very dear to you. The deaths of our parents, siblings, or relatives of all stripes leaves us feeling like orphans. Many of us have lost our spouses, or if we're lucky and still together, we live with the knowledge that one of us will undoubtedly die first. Our friends start slipping away, leaving us alone with all of our good memories of times past. Perhaps worst of all, some of us have outlived one or more of our children, something we never, never wanted to do. Grief is agonizing, with time softening the pain only fractionally. We are comforted by God's presence and love, and by his assurances of our eventual life together with him and our loved ones for eternity. Yet the pain of separation here on earth is still very real and demanding. In the same emotional vein, we also have to face the reality of our own mortality. Of course, we've all known from relatively early on that death could find us at any minute. A heart attack, stroke, car coming at us in the wrong lane, falling branch, gas line explosion, gunmen at Walmart. We know all this and face it down. But the older we get, the more we realize that fatal moment, undeniably, is getting closer and closer. We long to be with Jesus, but the actual getting there is a scary unknown. Some of us are unsettled by that fact and need a hand to hold on to as we get closer to the reality. Eventually, if we live long enough, older people also must face the possibility of leaving our homes, certainly another emotional challenge. Perhaps economic reality forces a person to concede that staying by themselves in a big house can't work any longer. Or, as often happens, safety becomes an issue, or the ability to adequately take care of ourselves. Leaving our home is a big deal. We are comfortable, familiar with our surroundings. A house we've lived in for a long time has memories and a lot of stuff. What are we going to do with all that stuff? We also don't want to surrender our privacy. Our home is our sanctuary. I would say, though, that the biggest hurdle is the threat of losing our independence. We don't want to give up an inch of it. We've taken care of ourselves all these years, and we want to keep on doing so. Thank you very much. Yet at some point, we may begin to realize that the price of our so-called independence is that we're becoming a burden to those who care about us. So we move on. I'm afraid for many of us, the prospect of having to leave our home is a tremendous emotional upheaval. So far, this has sounded suspiciously like one long moan, and I'm sorry for that. I really haven't meant for it to be. I'm not trying to conjure up a pity party or a big woe is we. There really are many good things about getting older. But my point is that older folks as a collective are not people that should be shoved aside and ignored by the church. We may be sitting quietly and serenely on our pew substitutes, but underneath the surface, we quite possibly are paddling like crazed ducks. We may not be howling back in the cry room or making paper airplanes to throw at people out of our bulletins. We may not be sitting here daydreaming about the cute boy in English class or fretting about whether we can pay our tuition next semester. We may not be preoccupied with concern about whether our boss likes us or not, or what we'll do if we don't get a raise. But we're still here. We're still a part of the family of God, and we still need you and each other. That is, if we really are still here. Pastor Jerry said not to worry about the old folks because you have them. But do we? It's not quite that simple. The truth is that older people really do leave the church sometimes, unfortunately, just like people in all age groups do. It can become harder and harder to get around in the morning. Consequently, easier and easier to stay home. Or, as congregations try desperately to appeal to younger people in their effort to stay afloat, those efforts may seem unappealing or irrelevant to the older crowd. The attempt to bring church music up to speed, so to speak, has created a lot of flack among the old people. Not everyone can find it within themselves to be a good sport about singing na 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 when they're really yearning for the old rugged cross. So they quietly drift away, maybe to another church group, or maybe passively to watch Sunday morning TV. Is this fair? Not really. It creates a catch-22 for church groups seriously trying to meet people's needs. But it is a reality. What then can a family of believers do to make older people feel welcomed and a needed part of the group? First, notice us. Don't take us for granted, as Pastor Jerry seems to find acceptable. No one wants to feel marginalized. Also, don't assume that because the graying hair people are sitting so quietly and politely that we necessarily are at peace. We may be fighting a nagging backache, or we could be brokenhearted over a grandchild who has gotten involved with drugs, or we might be mourning the loss of our best friend. We have not gotten past the need for a friendly word or the occasional shoulder to cry on. We may crave an opportunity to talk. Of course, given the opportunity, we may talk too much and tell stories that you've heard several times before, but it is a kindness to listen. It's also a wasted opportunity not to listen. To assume that older people are so removed from the modern world as to have nothing worthwhile to contribute is pretty foolish. A person who has spent a lifetime studying God's word and sincerely trying to put that word into practice while living in this fallen world is a wellspring of hard-won knowledge. A wise person learns from the experiences of others. Frank Bruni, a columnist for the New York Times, said it well when he wrote, "Younger generations need older ones to turn that idealism into more than pretty words. They need the moral authority reserved for people who've done so much loving, so much losing, and so much figuring out how to press on. They need the life lessons which have grown from a pamphlet to an encyclopedia. What a waste not to read every last syllable of it." Older people need not only to feel wanted and appreciated, but to feel needed. We need to be given every opportunity to serve. It's true that we probably can't crawl around in the attic fixing the wiring anymore, or catch a speeding 3-year-old. We also probably shouldn't be allowed up on the roof, no matter how much we insist we can still do it. Yet there are so many things we still can do and should be encouraged to do. As we age, they may become more and more sitting down jobs rather than standing jobs. They may become less and less demanding. At some point, we may even need to be gently relieved of them if we start to falter. But there is always something else we can do. The most important responsibility of all is prayer, and we can still do that when we're flat on our backs with tubes hooked up to us. Sometimes we older people may hesitate to ask to help because we know we aren't as fast or as sharp as we used to be. Of course, no one should be forced to do something that they feel incapable of doing, but sometimes a little gentle encouragement is all it takes to rebuild confidence in a hesitant pew dweller. Older people, we must do our part and be willing to serve wherever we are qualified and needed. All of those aching joints and graying hairs don't earn us a free pass into heaven's holding pen, where we hang out quietly until it's our turn to go in the gate. Nowhere in Scripture is it suggested that as we advance along our Christian walk, we'll encounter a spot where we're invited to sit down and rest on our laurels. We are here to serve. We worship God through service, advance the cause of Christ through service, fight the good fight through service. It is so important that we not give up. We can never think we have nothing more to offer. We, in giving our lives to God, have promised to serve Him until our dying breath, and it's not arrived yet. So look for ways to help. Be proactive. Don't be too shy to volunteer. Stretch yourself a bit. Just don't go up on the roof. The other thing we must do is continue to grow in the Word. It is the project of a lifetime. The more we learn, the more we see we have to learn. It is so exciting to discover ourselves smack dab in the middle of God's plan for the world. We each have a part to play, but we need to study our parts, learn our positions, and grow into our role. This takes work that we have to do ourselves. We can get help from teachers, preachers, relevant books, videos, you name it, but we must study. The Bible is an endless source of knowledge and inspiration. We never outgrow it, and we never outgrow our potential to go deeper in and farther up. We have been given the opportunity of a lifetime. We must take every advantage. So, junior people, I hope I've made it a little easier to understand the old people sitting around you. My text today is Exodus 20:12. Honor your father and your mother so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. But you already knew that. You are polite, respectful people. Just don't respect us into the back corner of a shelf as you would a piece of fragile china you're afraid to use because it might break. The truth is, we don't break too easily, or we wouldn't still be here. We need to serve and grow, and we need your companionship. It also wouldn't hurt to insert an extra hymn or two into the lineup once in a while. Just saying. Senior people, we're the lucky ones who've made it to old age. Sometimes we wonder, why us? Why are we still here? We don't know the answer to that one, but we do know that we should view these years as an opportunity. We've been given more time to praise God and to do His will here on earth. The fifth commandment admonishes us to honor our father and mother, but we who are the fathers and mothers need to make ourselves deserving of honor. We must set an example of Christ's likeness to a very needy world. We must study to make ourselves more worthy. We must continue to serve God and our fellow believers by doing everything we can until we can't. We must fight the good fight, and the reward will be ours.
You've been listening to a message presented at Hayes Christian Church. Hayes Christian Church is a non-denominational fellowship in Hayes, Kansas. We are supported by the generosity of our members, attenders, and friends. The financial support we raise goes to projects which further spread the gospel to those who do not yet know Jesus, to local, national, and international missions, and they help to keep these podcasts free. If you'd like to share a monetary gift with us, please visit our webpage at hayeschristianchurch.org and click on the donate button. Or you may mail your gift to P.O. Box 1111, Hayes, Kansas 67601. If you have questions, comments, or would like more information, we would love to hear from you. Simply go to our webpage and click on the Contact Us form. Thank you for your generosity, and may God bless you as you seek to follow Him.